Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We still have a very, very high embryo loss in creation of life in the laboratory. So I think it's very disingenuous to say that it was a pro-life approach to making babies.
And this is just madness to say. And each one of us, all 7 billion, all have these magical divine destinies from forever where we're all going to change the world. You know, that's what's destroying the world.
Another way to think about what I've called cliche theology is your rhetoric running your theology, or is the theology running the rhetoric?
Moms in labor, love issues, etc.
Has it been a bad year or a good year for what we've come here on issues, etc., to refer to as natural marriage? Marriage as God intended it, or marriage as nature intends it, if you prefer. Marriage between one man and one woman. How was 2017, and what are the challenges that are facing natural marriage, especially in law, in 2018? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about natural marriage legislation in 2018. Brian Brown of the National Organization for Marriage will be our guest for the first half hour or so of the program. Then a little bit later on this Friday afternoon, Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us. This week in Pop American Christianity, we'll be talking about the 2018 prophetic words that are coming out from, well, the 2018 prophets. Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard will be our guest. We'll get a little review of what national politics, Washington politics, are going to look like in 2018. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Ordinarily on a Friday, it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have come to the end of the year. We're beginning a new one. That means we have taken the top vote getters from 2017 from Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We brought those four together, and we're asking you to vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Now, ordinarily, we give away the LPR bundle package, but since it's Soundbite of the Year, we are giving away to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year all of the Issues Etc. books of the month from 2017. You can vote in advance by going to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc, or you can vote via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, via Twitter, @issuesetc, or wait and play, 1-877-623-6943, when you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Joining us to talk about natural marriage in law in 2018, Brian Brown. He's a regular guest and president of the National Organization for Marriage based in Washington, D.C. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Before we spend some time looking forward, let's look back a little bit to 2017. How did natural marriage fare in the courts in 2017?
Well, because our Supreme Court has already rendered in the Obergefell decision what is essentially the Roe versus Wade on marriage, putting the falsehood that somehow same-sex marriage is guaranteed by our Constitution. Because that happened, a lot of what's happening now, it relates to the effects of same-sex marriage, the lie of same-sex marriage being put in the law. So a lot of the legislation and also litigation have to do with the right of those of us who still stand for the truth that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, the right for us to be treated equally in the public square, to not be discriminated against, to not be punished, to not be marginalized. That was a key aspect of 2017, most importantly on religious liberty legislation and also on legislation relating to the whole issue of the transgender issue. Those were the two big sort of issues in 2017, again, because the court has illegitimately forced same-sex marriage into law in all 50 states.
There was a law, the Defense of Marriage Act, which has a pretty long history in American legislation. What became of it in 2015 when Obergefell was decided?
Well, you know, there was an earlier decision on DOMA, which essentially overturned the most important aspect of DOMA, the right for states to say that they know what marriage is. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and they don't want another state to overturn their laws. That had already been overruled before Obergefell. Obergefell put the final nail in the coffin of common sense when it then also said that no, on both a federal and state level, there is somehow a constitutional right to redefine marriage. So DOMA was essentially treated as null and void. Now, I don't want to get into this sort of more arcane aspects of constitutional law and theory, but, you know, again, the Supreme Court is not our ruler. And so we don't view the Obergefell decision as legitimate law, illegitimate law, and that has happened before in our history, all the way back to when the court said that slaves could be treated anything less than human beings, back to Roe versus Wade saying that babies are not human beings. So these are lies put in the law, but unfortunately, as I said, that we now have a Supreme Court that has done that, and a lot of our focus is making sure that the ramifications of that are contained, and working to a point where we can get another court decision by a friendlier court that can overturn Obergefell. And those are, that may take some time, although one important success over the last year was the appointment of a good justice to the court. And ultimately, Obergefell is going to be overturned by getting a decision to the Supreme Court. Given the nature of where our constitutional law is today, I don't see a likely outcome of Congress standing up to the court and saying, you've gone too far. That's unfortunate. It should do that, but that's not going to happen. So we're going to need another court decision. And that can happen. And I'm hopeful that will happen not only on Obergefell, but also on Roe versus Wade. But in the meantime, we need to protect our first freedom, the First Amendment right to live and practice our faith, to live and live out the truth that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. And that's why religious liberty legislation and legislation related to the transgender issue are so important going forward.
In that vein, talk about the First Amendment Defense Act.
That is, over the course of the last 4 years, even before Obergefell, we believed at the National Organization for Marriage, it was critical that we had federal legislation that protects individuals, businesses, churches that stand for the truth that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Even going all the way back to 2008, we saw not only individuals, but even the government punishing and trying to marginalize those of us who stand for this truth. As you may know, the IRS leaked a number of our major donors. Those were private donors, and that was leaked, and we had a lawsuit against the government. Eventually, the government admitted wrong. We won that. But there are so many other ways where we're now seeing the cake baker, the videographer, the flower shop being told, you have to celebrate a same-sex wedding, even though you don't believe in it. If you don't do it, we're going to take you before the courts, and we're going to try and get you in jail, or at the least get you fined. And so this has just exploded, as we predicted, in the wake of Obergefell. And what the First Amendment Defense Act does on a federal level is very simple. It doesn't solve all problems, but on the federal level, and we want this same type of legislation at the states, on a federal level, it says the government can't discriminate against individuals, businesses, churches that stand for the truth that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. We've actually had attempts to say that the IRS should strip the nonprofit status of churches that believe marriage is the union of a man and a woman. We've had the government say that you couldn't get contracts from the government. Again, that was not law, but we've had people pushing for this and saying this is the implication after Obergefell. All of us who stand for the truth of marriage are somehow like racists. And that is simply unacceptable. We know it's untrue. And that's what the First Amendment Defense Act will do. In the past, we've had Senator Mike Lee and Congressman Raul Labrador leading the charge there. We need that brought back up. I have some concern that given everything else facing Congress and the president, that this will fall on the back burner, and we can't let that happen. This is about protecting and making clear that the First Amendment still reigns in this country. And the First Amendment Defense Act is a simple piece of legislation that will have a great impact in protecting religious liberty. So that's one, and that's been a key legislative goal of ours for years. And we've gotten movement on that in that we have legislation. We've had many congressmen sign on to the legislation, but what we haven't gotten is a vote, and we want to vote this year. Ideally, we believe we could get a vote where we can win, but we need a vote, first of all. We need leadership to allow a vote. The second piece of legislation that's critical, and again, is a direct consequence of the Supreme Court forcing same-sex marriage on this country, is another example that we said would happen, and proponents of same-sex marriage said, oh no, that'll never happen, you're scaremongering. And that is that religious and other adoption agencies are now being told that they cannot place children for adoption unless they go against their religious beliefs and place children with same-sex couples. This is a direct attack on the church's ability to live out the gospel truth by telling the church and telling others, even non-churches, that unless you comply with this false vision of marriage, we're not even going to let you do all the good you're doing. That is a great evil, given that so many hard-to-place kids are currently placed by religious adoption agencies, older kids who've been in foster care, and that the government would say that somehow because these organizations are only placing children with married male husband-wife in the husband-wife homes, that somehow that they're going to be removed from doing all their good. It is it's egregious. It's unacceptable. And there's a piece of federal legislation that would correct that. So those are two key pieces of legislation on the federal level. And we've got a lot of work to do, but we're hopeful that we will be able to advance these down, getting closer to passage, at the very least to get a vote. But what we want is not only a hearing and a vote, we want the ability of both houses to vote and get the president to put his signature to these two pieces of common sense legislation.
Brian Brown is our guest. We're talking about natural marriage legislation in 2018. When we come back, why the proponents of natural marriage should keep their eye on the transgender movement. Stay tuned. Did you receive an Amazon Echo or Google Home for Christmas? Well, you can easily use these devices as your Lutheran listening loudspeaker. On Amazon Echo, say, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio, or Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio. On Google Home, say, Hey Google, play Lutheran Talk Radio, or Hey Google, play Lutheran Public Radio. Listen to Lutheran Talk or Lutheran Music 24/7 with Amazon Echo or Google Home.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. AdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features Issues Etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
If you want to know what it means to be a man, if you want a perfect picture of masculinity, get yourself a crucifix and put it on your wall, because the cross is the most masculine thing that has ever happened.
My dad had told him, you know, I had been praying every time I went to the Lord's Supper, I've been praying for you for almost 40 years to go back to church. Prayers answered miraculously.
It's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves us from sin, that saves us from death, and that saves us from hell.
When the dark gets darker, the light's going to get lighter. And as evil as this world is, Christ is going to shine brighter in us the more that we hold on to his word.
It's just a taste of the four sound bites we're going to be playing for you in the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, January the 5th. We'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Those sound bites might sound a little familiar, and that's because they were winners at previous Issues Etc. Soundbites of the Week. And we brought four of them together, the top vote getters. You'll be voting for one of those to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year at the end of the program today. In the meantime, Brian Brown is our guest president of National Organization for Marriage, based in Washington, D.C. We're talking about natural marriage legislation in 2018. Why is it that you say that the proponents of natural marriage need to keep their eye on the transgender movement, Brian?
Well, this whole area has the whole issue around the sort of transgender issues has exploded from 2015 to the present. And again, it's something that we said for the last 15 years, we've been saying, if you redefine the nature of marriage, if you say there's not something unique and special about a husband as a man and a wife as a woman, then you might as well throw out any real understanding of who we are as human persons, male and female. And that means if at one point we decide, you know, I'm no longer a male, I'm female, then the force of law is going to be brought down on those who still stand up for the biological reality that we are male and female. And that is what has happened, from Christian schools being told and others that it's discrimination to have a male and a female men's and women's restrooms, from Target saying that it's only having unisex restrooms and having little girls harassed by older men in restrooms. All of these things have happened since the passage of Obergefell, and it's the two are connected. And, you know, we've had some great victories in Houston, the passage of a bathroom bill that stopped the city council from basically stripping people of their privacy to have male and female restrooms. That's just the start. We've now in other places seen in New York threats that people could be fined if they don't use the pronoun that someone wishes. This is a Pandora's box of things that people never thought would occur are now occurring. And so on the one hand, we've seen some good movements. I think President Trump's executive order on transgenders in the military was a good movement forward, although that's being hung up in the courts and it's under review. Still, we've had good movement. On the other hand, we've had localities and others undermine religious liberty through the transgender issue. Again, if you tell a Christian school or you tell a church that simply teaching young kids that boys are boys and girls are girls, that that somehow is discrimination, you better bet there are going to be consequences. And those consequences have started to roll out through attempts to fine or sue schools, churches, and others that refuse to accept this false narrative about around the whole transgender issue. And obviously, we saw a lot of this. It sort of exploded onto public culture and popular culture with the famous people coming out and saying, you know, we're transgendered, we support the transgender issues. All of this, you know, has had an effect on public policy and made this a key issue in the last year.
So you had mentioned earlier the kind of the hopeful prospect of getting some legislation to the president's desk. How would you grade the Trump administration so far on the issue of natural marriage?
Well, I would probably give it about a B to maybe a B minus, because while some very good things have been done, the president has not really spoken forcefully at all on the whole, on the issue of the consequences of same-sex marriage. He has said that he believes marriage is the union of a man and a woman, but he's also said, well, the courts have decided that is not the case. He's not saying the courts have decided on Roe. He shouldn't say this, that on Obergefell. On the other hand, the executive orders have been as good as far as they go. Much more needs to be done. The executive order that was issued on religious liberty ended up being very weak. We need something strong. And while I would hope that the president would do that, all he could do through an executive order, and that's a big victory. The reason legislation is important is because it withstands the test of time. It doesn't just take another president to come in and sweep out the executive orders. So that's why the First Amendment Defense Act is important. I think that if we pass the First Amendment Defense Act, it will be difficult for a future Congress to overturn it, because it'll be very clear what they're trying to do. And that is to undermine the First Amendment. I'm not sure the American people will stand for that. So I would say a B to B minus, some good things. And most importantly, you know, we know what would have happened had Hillary Clinton become president. She was quite clear. We would have a lot of bad things, and a lot of bad things have been averted. So that's why I would give that grade.
Why do you continue, Brian, to fight to preserve and defend natural marriage? Many might say it's an impossible battle to win nowadays.
Well, it might look like that, but, you know, I must try and be a student of history. And the reality is that many, many falsehoods have won over some period of time. And at those periods of time, you know, I think back to the slave trade and William Wilberforce, or I think to the abolitionists in the U.S., or to the pro-life movement. People don't remember that after Roe versus Wade, the pro-life movement was not expecting that decision and was quite dispirited. The life was taken out of it. But a few people, a few leaders refused to give up and, against all odds, kept standing for the truth in the face of a patent falsehood. And the only way to overturn a falsehood put into the law is for people to stand up and continue to speak the truth. And I think the position that we're in right now is that some people are scared to stand up and speak, and we're not scared. And what I find that we are able to do is that merely by standing up and saying and making the arguments defending the truth that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, merely making the arguments that look at the consequences that have occurred, which could have been avoided if this falsehood wouldn't have been put into law. Merely by making the arguments, we need to protect the right for people to stand up and proclaim the truth of marriage. More and more people are willing to stand up. They don't feel alone. There's a sense that there's this overwhelming power in the media with one argument supporting same-sex marriage. And people in their hearts in America, I think even a majority of Americans, still know there's something unique and special about marriage as the union of a man and a woman. And merely by standing, we give hope to those people, and more people are willing to come and stand up for that truth. So it may take some time, but historically, it takes a few people willing to stand publicly, even in the face of hostility. I think that's not too strong a term given where we are at today, that's what can lead to a correction in the law and in the culture. So, that's a key part. The other part is this is simply true. We have an obligation to stand for the truth in and out of season. So that's why we do what we do.
Brian Brown is president of the National Organization for Marriage based in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about the National Organization for Marriage at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, keep up the good work, and thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, Mark Hemingway, senior writer for the Weekly Standard, will join us. We'll talk with him about national politics in the coming year. Stay tuned.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You could even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. Performancefitness618.com.
Listening to God's Word, daily prayers, frequent and faithful reception of the Eucharist, confession of sins and absolution, good works. Learn more about the life of Lutheran piety in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. It's written by regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. Thank, praise, serve, and obey.
Would you like to travel to Italy for a Christian art and history tour? This coming September, you will have the opportunity to take part in a Lutheran-sponsored trip exploring Italy's rich heritage. Destinations include the Sistine Chapel, the Colosseum and Christian catacombs of Rome, Renaissance art and architecture in Florence and Venice, and the wine country of Tuscany, plus a great deal more. Further details about this once-in-a-lifetime tour of Italy are available at MountZionGreenfield.org. Space is limited, so go today to MountZionGreenfield.org.
Each month, the Lutheran Witness magazine brings together leading thinkers and writers to cover a range of vital topics relating to Christian life and faith, culture and theology. So whether your 2018 New Year's resolution is to read more widely, think more broadly, or grow more deeply in your faith, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine can help. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.